Doesn't that computer know who you
are? Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right.
Behold the glory that is
me. A little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact scenario.
I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my
onto
friend?
A Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah.
This is Tech Talk.
Good morning. This is Tech Talk, and I think we've got a full house today. We've got this is Michael Tech Talk Kassler. We've got Paul Ulrich, and also maybe possibly Dave Sparky Saganaki. Oh no! Ooh. Yes. Uh oh! I thought he was on. I can see him. He should be on. Maybe we're not. No, that's not doing it. I'm sure he's around here
Keep
somewhere.
Pressing buttons.
Dave, you there? Oh, we lost him. I just saw him drop out. Oh my gosh. All right. Maybe I can call him back though, actually. Anyways, we're going to have a good show today. This is, of course, our first show back after, the new year and all that good stuff. So, hopefully, we got a few things to talk about, some good stuff happening in the news. Dave, are you there with us now? Oh, we had this problem once before where for some reason the one of our computers here just is not giving us the back and forth audio that we need.
Gotta get Dave to come here.
Yeah, Dave, you know what? You gotta come down. But also, too, you know what, Dave? I'm gonna try giving you a call myself. Hold on just a second here. Let me see. Oh, and I'm calling the wrong number here. Let me see if I can do this. Here we go. Let's try this. His number is, I'm going to read it out on air as I type it because I can't think and type without speaking at the same time. No, I'm going to avoid that. All right, here we go. people love this kind of radio too. It's exciting.
Everybody call Dave right now.
That's right. All right, Dave, I'm hanging up on you and calling you back. So, Paul, tell us, there was so much exciting stuff happening over the Christmas break, all this good stuff. What was the coolest tech gift that you got?
The coolest tech? Well, I have so much technology already. I think that I'm kind of on tech overload in my house. I mean, you can't walk more than two steps without tripping over a device or seeing a device laying on the table that's probably not charged because, you know, the other five devices are all charging. So you'd think that it'd be a lot of tech for gifts for me, but it's all for the kids now.
Yes. Yeah.
Now the kids are all getting tablets and Xbox games. So it's great. I really don't have to get any gifts because I just use all theirs.
You just enjoy it. Yeah. Enjoy the ones that you've got. You've got laying around you.
Right.
So.
My boys cleaned up on Xbox games, so I just play theirs. I don't have to buy anything for myself.
Hey. Oh, there we go. We got him. Yeah. We're having problems with one of the PCs here. It's not coming through for some reason. This seems good though. You received the call and picked it up and all that good stuff. So we got Dave Sparky Saganaki with us.
How do you know it's me?
Well, I'm hoping. it sounds.
Good morning, everybody.
It sounds abnormally clear, actually. So I'm a little confused.
It can't possibly be me, then.
Exactly. Well, happy New Year's, Mr. Sparky, and to Jay as well. Now, you guys are enjoying if possible, colder weather than what we've got down here. I understand.
Nope.
No? No?
It was cold yesterday, but it's about 25 degrees.
Oh, okay. So
it's
you're
balmy.
Yeah, you're calm.
Fahrenheit, yeah. Yesterday it was below zero Fahrenheit, about 12 degrees below, something like that.
Ooh, ouch. Yeah, we're going to have a high of about 10 below on Monday is what they're reporting.
Yeah.
So we're catching up. But, man, well...
And we didn't... We did not get all the snow you got at all. We got like a dusting, maybe a couple inches.
Okay, so not so you got a little of the bad, but not all of it. But you know what? 2014's young, so got a lot of time to you got a lot of time to catch up to us on that one. I was just asking Paul what his favorite techie kind of gift was, and he was saying that now that he's got kids, that it's the kids get the fun tech gifts, and he kind of just gets out of the way and gets to play with them. I was kind of in the same situation. I was showing off. Now he hasn't had a chance to play with it either. Now Dave, I know you would be a big fan of this. It's too bad you're not here to check this out too. Verizon let me hang out and play with one of their portable speaker system phones things. It connects with Bluetooth, and it's called the Deck is what it's called, and you can use Bluetooth with your phone. It's about the size of two decks of playing cards put together. But the sound that comes out of it is it's just mind-boggling how good it is. I mean honestly it takes a lot to really impress me, and I was honestly just shocked when I set it up at my friend's house when we were doing a little overnight Christmas dinner kind of thing, and had a lot of fun. The one thing I can't figure out how to make work properly, there's some feature, and you know how Motorola and all these and Samsung, they love to add these features that you're kind of like, does anyone use this? And the feature that they put on there that you wonder, does anybody use this, is there's a party mode where you can configure up to five Bluetooth devices to be blasting music through the deck at the same time.
That'd be great.
Just
that'd
make sure everyone
great.
Takes their turn.
No,
well, I think it forces the turn, though. I think like you get everybody gets like a couple minutes. They say it's like a battle. So you like that idea? I wasn't sure what to think of this idea. So how do you see that being used then?
Well, I don't know about doing it at a party, but it's switching between. Well, I've got multiple Bluetooth. What geeky guy doesn't love Bluetooth speakers? You got to have them. The more, the better, right?
Yeah.
But you've got multiple devices that you want to attach to them, and it's always a hassle. You know, you have to go through pairing or whatever. What if you're in a Bluetooth speaker and you've got two or three devices nearby that you've paired with it? Then it always pairs with the wrong one. This way, if you've got the capability of multiple devices being hooked up at the same time, you don't have to worry about it. You know, you always have to unpair. It's a pain in the butt. You have to unpair the device the one it hooks up to is not, or connects to, is not necessarily the one that you want to use it with.
Yeah, no, that is a good point. Yeah, and this does let you pair a whole bunch of different ones. Now you can force a single user mode with it, or you can put it into party mode, whatever you want to do. I guess I had unintentionally left it in party mode. Party mode means that if you I guess what happens is if your device stops playing, any other device that's connected to it that is playing will immediately start playing through the device, and then the colors will change on it. It has these disco colors on the front.
Oh, I love that! I'm so jealous that you've got this. Can you give an approximate price range for this thing? I mean,
yes,
we can.
Yeah, it's a little pricier than most of the things that we talk about here. For this, I'm trying to think how to do this discreetly, because
range is it? Is it more than $200?
It's right about that price, right around there. Now you can probably get a little bit cheaper. You can probably get a little cheaper, maybe goofing on Amazon or something, or if you're doing it as part of another package. But that's about the manufacturer's suggested retail price. It's right around there, right around $200. So now, in comparison to, you know, say a Jawbone or the Bose, that's right in the mark for what they're charging for these. If you're looking for one, I'm not trying to pimp for Verizon or Motorola either, but I just have not had a chance to play around with these a lot. And if I was in the market for it, I would definitely pick it up. I'll probably write up a short review for it and put that out there on the Tech Talk website as well. One thing I want to mention to people, techtalk.wrlr.fm, you can find info for us there. Our podcast is available linking through there, but also too at facebook.com/techtalkwrlr. One thing I wanted to mention though about our web presence, which is just surprising me, also this is shocking me. So this last week, 2 weeks ago, I told people about Flipboard and Flipboard.com and using Flipboard on your iPad. I created a tech talk on WRLR Flipboard magazine, which you can do. Anybody can create their own magazine. And so I've been putting content into the magazine. And we started, of course, with pretty much, you know, one reader, me, and after just a week or two here, we've got over 175 readers. So good for us. I
Wow, your ego is really going to be out of control now.
I can't even fit in the room pretty soon.
Exactly, oh, man. And you didn't, you know, it's like I needed help with that too. It was.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, we've got good things on cue for today. I'm going to bring Jay on in a little bit here as well, of course. And we're also going to do a Kids Talk Tech. Justin is in the green room, and he's excited and ready to jump in and talk to us about what he's got going on, too. He's got some cool apps and things that he played with. And so we'll bring him in a little bit as well. So it should be fun. Now, speaking of the Tech Talk news Flipboard magazine thing, there was some pretty... some pretty interesting news. We've had our first hack of 2014. I don't know if you heard about Snapchat.
If those pictures are saved, some people are getting really nervous right now, I'm sure.
Well, now that's the interesting thing.
Snapchat. Now, Snapchat, that's the one where they don't store it for very long, right?
I read an article about that about 6 months ago where it's not stored on your phone, but the Snapchat servers... still, for some legal reason, they still have to hold all the pictures.
Oh, really? Oh, no, I did not. I did not know that. Now, do they? They must disaggregate it, though, right? So that you can't. Supposedly.
Think, well, I don't know. I didn't hear about the hack, so let me hear about it.
Hack has nothing to do with the pictures. That's the interesting thing here. Is that what they did was they just got into the database itself, and I just lost audio through the headphones here. Hopefully,
I can hear you in my headphones.
You can hear. Okay, I just lost mine for some reason. But the what they got was actually the data, and because you do this with mobile devices, they got the phone numbers, all these mobile phone numbers. Now, this was then posted. This information was posted on the web to let Snapchat know, hey, you know, we pwned you, and you should fix things.
You're not as secure as you think you are.
Exactly. Like I said, this is kind of interesting, though, because, you know, your immediate thought is, well, you know, who cares? You know, my phone number, big deal. I've got that on Facebook. I've got it on Google and things like this. The problem with it is because it's mobile phone numbers, too, this gives whoever takes that information the ability to mass text malware links and sites, and then use and abuse the mobile phones for whatever they want to, and do all sorts of crazy things. So it's a little scary that these things are out there. You know, we really, it's just a good reminder. We need to be careful about this kind of thing.
It's great to have your insights on stuff like this. And isn't this directly, you know, in contradiction to what Snapchat's initial, premise was that this was supposed to be gone in like minutes or something, right? That none of this was supposed to be retained.
Right. That's the thing with Snapchat. You view the picture once on your phone. I'd knock on wood, I don't use it, so they don't have my phone. They don't have my number.
No, nope. Yeah, I'm not a user either.
But right, that was the...
You better not take a picture of that either, knock it on wood.
Right. And so we'll see what happens with... I'm looking it up at right now, right? They got them.
Yeah. 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 So, you know, I mean, of course, too, you know, it's one more piece of information. If they grab your mobile phone number, maybe they've got now a login that you use for Snapchat, perhaps a password, or maybe they don't have a password, but they get an unencrypted password from some other goofy site that you're not thinking too much about. Maybe you log in to Forbes.com or something that you trust, but they get hacked. A lot of people don't change their password from site to site. So once they get a bulk of information about you, they can start using that and doing,
a file on you, right?
Oh, exactly.
I have kind of a stable of 5 to 10 passwords or different iterations of it. You know, mm-hmm. I try to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Stable.
Yeah.
I'm stable. I like that.
It's tough, though. It's tough. Every website, you have to have a password for now. It's,
oh, exactly.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Well, and I kind of have two tiers of password that I do. Is I have one that's, you say it's like a stable of ones that I make simple iterations to so I can understand, I know. In fact, what I do is I have a base key, and then based on the name of the website, you know,
gotcha.
I'll add letters to the beginning or the ending based on the name of the website.
What letters do you add?
I don't want to let both of our listeners know how easy it is to crack into all my stuff. But so that's for like uncomplicated ones. Ones that I really care a great deal about, though, you know, like my Google access and things like that. Google, I actually have up as a two-stage authentication, which is a major pain in the butt a lot of the times, but worth it, I believe, for the, for the extra security that it's got. And then other secure sites like our, you know, banking and things like this, I make up, or actually I use KeePass. So I have KeePass create for me a secure password.
Gotcha.
And use that one.
Got to be safe. You never know when the bad guy's going to come and get you.
Yeah, yeah. And that actually, in fact, or the good guys, NSA.
A little paranoia is a good thing. A little mm-hmm. paranoia is a good thing.
Well, and if we're gonna have a cool site to start the year off, this is a perennial favorite for me is KeePass. I've tried some of the other ones, LastPass. There was a bunch of other ones. There's some that are sitting in the cloud you can use. I really don't like those. I want to have control over my own data file, and KeePass, spelled K-E-E pass, lets you do that. It's open source, free stuff, fully encrypted files for the database, but I use that with a combination of Dropbox to be able to have access to all of my passwords on any device that I've got available. So there's an iPad usage for it. There's also an Android one, and there's, of course, the PC version, and my wife and I both have separate KeePass password files, but she knows my master password to mine. So if anything ever happened, she could get in and she could access all the banking accounts and anything else she needed.
It's like the movie Casino popped into my head when you did that, where he put all the money in her name to prove that how much he trusts her. You know, you have the ultimate trust. You gave her all your internet passwords.
Oh, she's got, yeah, absolutely. No, she's I can't get away with anything.
right. She owns you completely.
That's it. Fortunately, it goes both ways. I have access to her her Facebook and everything else too. Hopefully, she knew that. what were you gonna say, Dave? It sounded like you were gonna jump in with something.
Speaking of managing files and technology in general, and with your background in educational IT work, I was just reading something about the Chromebook. That Chromebook is making some seriously strong inroads into education.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're less expensive and they're much easier to manage. You don't have to upgrade the hardware or the software, that sort of thing, and they don't need to be backed up. If you were still managing IT or directing IT,
all right, we lost you a little bit. Everything's going cloud-based. I mean, everything is now. You've got so much. A lot of people have a lot of external storage just from their home computer. You know, there's Carbonite and there's all these other external things you can subscribe to back up your personal data. And then businesses are all going cloud-based.
Mm-hmm.
I know at Verizon, I used to be in IT, and there's I still got a lot of friends there. Everything's going, a lot of the data, a lot of the data is all, none of it's local anymore. Everything's cloud-based now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's really a clean evolution that we're seeing here. And the Chromebook is a natural step forward for that. When I was back directing IT and education, and this is a while ago now, I mean, this is nearly 10 years ago. We were one of the first districts, at least in the state, that put in place a fully virtual desktop environment for our kindergarten school. And so that made it that when you flipped on your computer, computer and logged in. The way the virtual desktops worked at that time was using a Citrix based backend, and it would download apps just as you needed them. It wouldn't have them sitting in storage necessarily, but each teacher and each classroom had their own individualized login that they could use anywhere they were at, which was really cool. We had also too, and in here I'm kind of like, you know, patting myself on the back here, because we were on the cutting edge of a lot of stuff. We were forced to, because we had such tight dollars. As you know, Round Lake went through a period of extreme, financial difficulty. And so we were trying to recover from that. One of the other changes we made was to move away from Microsoft Office and their somewhat usurious, licensing fees and borrowing their software stuff, and moved to OpenOffice. And I think it was OpenOffice or LibreOffice. I think it was OpenOffice is what I promoted. And the argument I made to the board, which was accepted, was, they at first were very resistant to it, saying we need to have these Office skills. And I said, you got to ask yourself the question, how much is it worth you to you as a district, and to take money away from other things to teach your children to specifically use Microsoft Word versus just teaching a kid how to word process or how to write. You know, what is the value there that you're seeing for that decision? And so we did some test cases, and we rolled it out in two of the schools. We went to OpenOffice. We left Word and Office products in the high school because they were close to the job force, and we thought that made sense to get them prepped.
For the younger kids, you could use the back in my day argument. We didn't use that back. We typed it, and you had to use whiteout when we made a mistake.
That's right.
So we typed a lot slower to make sure we didn't make a mistake and have to go to the whiteout. But the little whiteout strips, remember the strips?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Right, you had to flip those in there a little bit.
Right.
I made good money in college, actually, because I could type slightly over 100 words a minute accurately, and so I was typing up people's papers. Nice. And things. And that was, we had the first word processors, like the Amstrad, were out. I don't know if you remember that. Amber screen, about four lines that you could see. But once we got those true word processors, that's when I got over 100 words a minute, is because then you could make errors and not have to pull out the white strip and stuff. So Dave, you were trying to jump in?
Oh yeah, this is pertinent also because the big news coming out of the computer electronics show is Intel is pushing for hybrid boot or have virtual machines where you could have Windows and Android running, at the same time.
I saw that. Yeah, that is very cool. I think that's a great idea, and I think that kind of contributes into this whole thing. It's going to make it so much easier to transition. I think the unfortunate thing for Microsoft may be that the endpoint of that is it's going to be used by people who are looking to migrate to Android but aren't quite comfortable doing it yet. And
right, it makes you think of like the old dual boot, making your PC dual boot back in the day. You turn it on, you hit something to make it boot up into this or that.
Yep, and I actually have a machine that I do that with. I've got Linux and Windows on it still. And the Linux I use for a media server, and the Windows I use for just doing regular work stuff. And
we'll see if those catch on, those hybrid and tablets, just because tablets are still pretty new. I think people are still pretty loyal to an operating system. We'll see if that catches on or not.
What do you think, Dave? You gonna pick one up?
Well, actually, interestingly enough, I just pulled the trigger on a Windows tablet that I have to pick up. It was a ship to store deal. It'd be great to be able to dual boot that or run a virtual machine to get Android apps. Windows is concerned about, Microsoft is concerned about doing this because it'll take even more steam or traction out of their efforts to get applications built for specifically for the Windows platform.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's a reasonable fear of theirs. Although in 2013, Microsoft shares rose 34%. So they did very, very well, even in the face of, you know, the tablets, the Microsoft tablets not taking off like we expected. I'm really interested to hear when you get your tablet, what you think of it. I've been intrigued by them. I really like them. And I think that's a good step forward too, moving away from PCs and the, you know, what we consider laptops now, but having this more flexible, functional sort of piece of equipment.
Right, and I've been
Microsoft's really made efforts to hold their own, I think, and try not to lose too much market share when it comes to tablets and that sort of thing, especially in this last quarter and such. But moving forward, wearable tech could be a big revolution, and I don't think Microsoft has anything on the burner for that, do they? Is anybody aware of anything they have going with that?
Not that I've heard. I mean, of course, you know, everyone knows about Google Glass.
Yep.
That seems to be the big one, and we'll see if anything else follows suit after. It's hard to imagine the Google Glass, you know, just because I've never had to use it. I've seen videos of it now because it's getting more and more widespread, the testers and stuff. It's just a question of what to do with it.
It's kind of one of those chicken and the egg things. It's like if you had more of them out there, people would probably be doing more with them. And if you had more that you could do with it, more people would probably want to have them. Now, the wearable devices, again, though, are starting to take off. There's a new player in the smartwatch arena. Samsung is continuing to improve their offerings. You know, things like this. I think it's going to be interesting. I mean, even Fitbit. Now, I've got a Fitbit Flex that I've got on here, but there's the Fitbit Pulse or Plus.
There's the Fitbit one. There's the Fitbit. I mean, there's a couple of them there as far as which ones you want to use. But yeah, there's so many of the wearable that's the newest one. Yeah, there's the Fitbit One, the Fitbit Flex, and there's the Jawbone Up.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different ones you can have. You can get them as a bracelet or one you clip to your belt.
Well, and the one that I'm thinking of is it's the one model up from what I've got is Fitbit, and it does all the, you know, quantified self stuff, but it also connects with your phone, either your iPhone or your Android, and will alert you to incoming calls, things like this. And I think, you know, again, as that technology gets better, I can't imagine myself just buying a watch anymore, just a regular plain old dial watch. But
it's got to connect to something now.
Exactly.
Yes, if I'm buying a device and it doesn't connect to something on some level, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, GPS, something.
That's right. Yeah.
Why are you even buying?
Exactly. Yeah. Now, if I was in the, you know, and I haven't owned or worn a watch. Oh, I can't remember one. I mean, it's got to be 25 years, probably.
Yeah, I have one occasionally. Occasionally, I put it on.
Yeah.
Occasionally, but yeah, very rarely. You've always got your phone.
Your phone. Hey, speaking of phone and time and all this other stuff, I need to give our good friend Jerry a call here. So we're going to do this again. We're trying, since I couldn't get audio on the other computer here, I'm trying this on our dual Skype connector here and see how this works for us. I'm not hearing any dialing or ringing, but you know, we'll see here.
I could step out if that'll facilitate the connection.
I don't think it makes any difference, honestly.
While he dials, Dave, we can just chat. We can talk about cool technology.
Hey, Jay! Oh, there he is! Oh man, look at that! No ringing sound, but we got Jay sound. Good morning, Mr. Garmin. How you doing, sir?
Not too bad, fellas. About yourself?
Pretty good, pretty good. Trying to keep warm these, you know, for the next day or so. I don't think it's going to be possible come Monday. Just to warn people, I think probably throughout this area and maybe as far as down south as you, it's going to be incredibly, bitterly, brutally, frigidly cold here come Monday. We're expecting a high in the Chicago area of 9 below. So, keep that in mind. Anyone that's traveling or doing anything else, I would not be shocked or surprised at all to see a number of school and business closings come
totally.
Monday, Tuesday.
We just got the call yesterday that, oh, we'll let you know tomorrow. But why on earth would you say open school when it's going to be that cold? I'm not leaving the house.
Exactly.
Kids can walk to school if they want to. Exactly. I'm not leaving.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, we have a situation in the Round Lake area, I remember, where we always had a difficult decision to make about that, you know, working with the administration there. You've got a large number of, my son actually is with us here, Justin. I think he wants to chime in on this topic. Do you want to say something, Justin? Now he's quiet. Now he's quiet.
He was waving his arms like he had something to say.
No.
Now he's gone.
All right.
Wait, what are you talking about again? We're
talking about closing school and you getting an extra day off is what we're talking about.
What do you think? Do you want an extra day off?
Please tell me that you're not joking.
We'll see. I don't make those decisions. Right. But the difficulty with those decisions for school districts, especially school districts like Round Lake, which has a lot of blue-collar workers and two family working homes, is that if the kids don't go to school, what do you do with them? And in many, many, many cases, unfortunately, what winds up happening is those kids get left at home. And
how is that unfortunate?
Can you imagine what our house would look like if I left you and Adam alone at home all day? Which one of you would survive?
Fantasies.
to enter one league.
Exactly. Well, I'm sorry, Jay. We derailed this conversation. As soon as I got you on, I derailed the conversation. I apologize.
All right, because I'm in exactly the same boat. It's going to rain here all day Sunday, and then about 3 a.m. the cold's going to hit us, and the high on Monday is zero. With a low of -3 and a wind chill of -11.
Dude,
I'm pretty sure I know what all that rain is going to do once the cold gets here. We're going to be trapped in a cosplay version of Planet Hoth.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, that's the advantage of your physics background, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? That'll make for a beautiful sunrise. I would suggest get up early before the trees come down.
The way it's glistening off the fallen power lines is what I was thinking, right?
Exactly. Yeah, Paul may be in his truck again come Monday or Tuesday.
Maybe a disaster trailer will be heading over.
Oh.
That would be my advice.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Gas it up. Gas it up early.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, you guys haven't been hit really bad yet, Jay, but yeah, I wouldn't hold out hope that you're going to survive for much longer without that. Let me jump us in, though, since I derailed this for so long. I know we're just a couple days past the New Year's. You had a great question, though, from last time. The only Times Square New Year's ball drop where the drop did not occur in 60 seconds, and this is not inclusive of the two times during the war when it was not dropped at all to avoid air raids. Now you said this was for an incredibly geeky reason. I've got a guess. I honestly haven't looked this up. My guess would be something to do with a leap second that had to be added or removed from the clocks at a certain year, but I'm not sure. What's the legit real answer?
You're actually correct in that in New Year's Eve 1987, New Year's Day 1988, they added a second to the ball drop for the leap second that was added on December 31st of 87, which is amusing because we've added like 30 leap seconds since 1972. Why they picked 1988 to recognize one? I mean, we added one in June 30th of 2012. It's always on June 30th or December 31st. Mm-hmm. And since they discovered it in 1987, we've added leap seconds on December 31st of 89, 90, 95, 98, 2005, and 2008. Oh. They didn't recognize it any of those years.
No, I didn't realize that we had done it so much more. I had a vague recollection of that, and that's why that was my guess. I didn't realize that we continued doing that, though, or needed to do it so frequently. I thought it was more comparable to like a leap year sort of thing, where it was every 4 to 8 to 12 years or so.
Well, they did it twice in 1972. On June 30th and December 31st, and they did it every year from 1973 to 1979. Apparently, we were way out of whack with the atomic clock.
Mm.
and it's funny, if you are a complete nerd, and I've only done this once, you could actually get onto an atomic clock readout from time.gov, and when this happens, you can actually, and you can get screen captures of this if you're also a giant nerd, the clock will actually read 23:59:60. They add a 60th second to the clock.
Ooh.
Right before midnight. And so that happens, you know, every 2 or 3 years, this happens at least once. Only in 1972 did we do it twice in the same year. Mm-hmm. But we've done it on average about every 4 to 5 years since the 70s.
They did that.
He had a leaf second at some point.
They did that in 1972 in honor of me being born.
Oh, that was the reason. Time stopped
for just a moment.
When Paul entered the planet.
How come I didn't get in on that deal?
Yeah, I think Paul already used the second up, so there wasn't anything else we could do. Sorry, bud. We got. I don't know if you can hear Jay. We've got a full house here. We've got my son Justin, who's going to do Kids Talk Tech in a little bit. We've got Paul Ulrich from Verizon with us as well, and also of course we've got Dave Saganaki. Although the winter weather seems to be impacting the connection a little bit. And then we've got I don't think we've had this many people on all at the same time before. This is pretty cool.
Well, all we need is a weather girl and a traffic specialist, and we got a morning zoo crew.
There you go. And some really neat sound effects. I need more sound effects. Man, I haven't actually looked through our sound effects for a long time. I don't know if we've got any good ones.
Don't touch it.
There you go. That's what we got. Don't touch it.
Do email dad.
Oh, you know, I don't know if we need that one. I don't even see that one on there.
It's right there. Go to Don't Touch It, move 2 to the right.
Oh, there we are. Right.
And email your old dad once in a while, will
you? There you go. That's what we used to, end the show on, actually, in fact, when we were trying to be more Morning Zoo. Man. Now there was there was actually some answers online for the geek trivia, of course, from Customer Jones. I didn't check. I saw one other note too, and I didn't go back in to check and see who else sent. I got an email to techtalk@wrlr.fm with a guess for that. But like I said, I didn't want to ruin it because I thought I knew the answer, and I didn't want to have it exposed to me. But just a short reminder that people can go to facebook.com/techtalkwrlr or send an email to techtalk@wrlr.fm, or what is kind of cool is you can send or drop a phone call into 847-984-0847 and leave a voicemail, and we'll play those on air occasionally. So lots of ways to connect to us. Jay, what should we look for next week as a trivia question?
Well, the Consumer Electronics Show is coming up, and all the advanced press is everyone going nuts over wearable computing. You know, is Google going to update Glass? What are all the new smartwatches? What are the new Fitbits? And so I thought I'd throw out a little wearable computing question. If you actually go and look at the definition, there's varying definitions of wearable computers by some, you know, definition. The first abacus necklaces from ancient China would technically count as a wearable computer. But I, by most modern definitions, it must be something that is actual self-computation based on input from the user in some sort of mechanical or electronic fashion. Then there were mechanical computers going, you know, way back. You know, you can count a wristwatch because it computes time. But by a modern definition, what was the first wearable computing device that included a modern microprocessor?
Great question. I have some ideas. I recall being one of those guys that had the big clunky, ridiculous calculator watches back in the
I had one of those
back in the early 80s.
You get banned from them from school. You can't use it.
That's right. No, all of a sudden it was like a big deal around school, and now and that's interesting to see that change. We were talking earlier, Jay, about change in education with Chromebooks and things moving to the cloud and using virtual desktops and stuff. But that's one of the things that's finally kind of coming around a bit, is the rather than fighting the influx of technology into the classroom, most schools and districts are actively trying to engage the technology in the process. So it'll be interesting to see if that continues with some of these wearable devices. I mean, we've talked a lot about iPads and Kindles and tablets and things. The phones are still kind of seen more as an intrusion, though, because it is such an active communications device. But if we start getting more of these wearable devices, I don't know if there's going to be an easy way to make that occur with education.
Well, it, as in all organizations, it comes down to the competency and enthusiasm of the executive leadership.
Mm-hmm. And the cost.
That varies across the board in all industries. Mm-hmm. I've been in plenty of private enterprises where technology could have been a great boon, and they've simply refused to adopt it because that's not how we do things around here.
Yep. Well, and also, too, you know, the way that our educational system is configured is not real conducive to either A, change, or B, individualized anything. And that's the real boon that technology of this level provides, is the possibility of individualized education, individualized processing, and you can't really do that in the factory setting. That
right. when you talk about wearable, also, well, of course, cost. Mm-hmm. And what can you do with it? And then also with Google Glass, something that always comes to mind for me is privacy. Mm-hmm. Because you don't want, you know, if say 20 years from now, schools are all using them. You know, you don't want kids walking into the locker room with their Google Glass on.
Yeah.
Or something like that. You know, the privacy comes to mind, too, as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That's absolutely right. I remember when we got cell phones, smartphones, or not smartphones, but actually just cell phones.
With cameras.
And the superintendent at the time, I'm not naming any names where this was, the superintendent at the time had me use a couple of my techs to go through with nail polish remover and rub it over the and use that on the camera, right. The camera piece on the phone, so that it would block it out, so people could not use the cameras. Now this was not for children's use. This was for administrative staff use. And I remember at the time even saying, "Gosh, wouldn't it be useful to have the camera? I mean, if something's going on, you could take a picture, and then you'd have proof that, you know, this kid did what." Whatever. No desire to do that. Now, of course, they're so ubiquitous, no one would even contemplate trying to, you know, deface your camera that way.
Right. Everything has a camera now.
Technology always arrives before we are socially able to handle its implications.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because we're not that creative about it, or more to the point, the people who wish to game the system are always more motivated and creative than those that wish to maintain the status quo. So it's always a bit confusing. Although I think the larger issue with pretty much to Paul's point about Google Glass and sort of the cameras on everything, or the ambient data recording of everything, is that for all we talk about Moore's Law making processing cheaper continuously all the time, storage gets cheaper and smaller even faster than Moore's Law.
Mm-hmm.
And so this notion of, because you can store it, why not keep it? It might be useful later. I think that's the paradigm that's going to change. The capturing of data, I don't think, is a problem. I think it's the notion that we should keep it forever and continually mine it for information. That's the problem. If we, you know, if a camera took a photo every 3 seconds, but if nothing changes at the end of the, like the security cameras have done this for a while, if nothing changes in the image,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't store. It just stores the most recent new image, and if things in the field of view change, it keeps it.
Yep.
We need to start thinking about more information retention policies about how long do we keep data, in what circumstances do we keep data. You know, it might be worthwhile to have cameras in the locker rooms if something untoward is happening in the locker rooms, but if nothing is occurring, there's no reason to keep that data.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know, I think there's a couple different approaches with that. One thing is, now data and especially recorded information like that is only as useful as it is accessible. So if you can't search for it for the things that you need effectively, you're right. It doesn't make sense to hold on to information that's in that sense not useful. And as our search techniques get better and we're able to do things like parse audio and make that searchable and parse video information and make that translated and useful as well. And in fact, there's an iPhone app that is helping blind people to be able to see and count money and things that I was going to talk about perhaps next week. As those things become more useful, I think that perhaps the data will be, it's tough to say that we should throw stuff away if we can find what we need out of it. But I think you're right, though, too. The kind of the Snapchat ideas of taking information, using it for a specific one-time purpose, and disposing of it thereafter would perhaps be useful in some of those high security situations or situations where we want a much higher degree of privacy, such as, you know, locker rooms and other places where that would be expected. If you have automated ability to say, okay, these activities occurring in this highly private location are acceptable, but if I see something that falls outside of this range, I'm going to take the image. Now I'm not going to keep it private. I'm going to put it to appropriate location and alert someone. You know, maybe this is the way things
are. And I wanted to make sure I got that quote right because I wrote it down. I think technology always arrives before we are ready for the social implications. Is that what you said?
Yes.
And wait, do you have a Twitter handle? Because I was sending that out.
At Jay Garman.
Oh, that's Jay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know. Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to step on you there, Jay. yeah, all yeah. Right. Yeah, and people can find more about Jay Garman at jaygarman.net. A lot of good stuff. And Jay is a constant font of pithy and inappropriate commentary. So we love having you on, Jay. It has been a great 2013 and a good start to 2014. I'm going to let you go, though, right now. On that note, we've got Kids Talk Tech still coming up and hopefully even maybe a couple of cool sites of the week or cool sites of the year here, too. So as always, Jay, thanks for joining us. And did we get next year or next week's question?
Yeah, we did about wearable computing.
Oh yeah. Okay, sorry. It's one of those days, you know. It's just, oh man. All right, well, sir, thank you, Jay, and man, keep warm. It's not going to be easy, but give it a try.
All right, do the same, fellas. Take care.
All right, take care. Thanks, Jay.
Take care, Jay.
Jay Garman. Man, great stuff. Like I said, jaygarman.net or at Jay Garman. You can follow him on Twitter as well. Or, you know, find us at Tech Talk WRLR and we'll point you in the right direction. Always good stuff. I'm gonna push this right over into Justin, who's falling asleep right now. He's so excited about his chance here. Kids Talk Tech. Justin's yawning. So what is the app that's gonna wake you up?
Hard to say.
Uh-oh. I started playing Clash of Clans because my children started playing it.
Everybody has that. My brother has that. My sister wants it. I have it. All of my friends have it.
I want to be cool. I want to stay hip with my kids. So if I beat them in Clash of Clans, then I'm still kind of cool. So.
Yeah. Well, no, you guys got to be on the same clan.
Oh, we are in a clan, but yeah. I have a higher reputation score than they do.
I'm in this great clan where there's only one other member named Holden. It's called Holden's Fort, and you donate to like level 3 dragons.
You can you can join our clan. We'll talk after.
There you go. Yeah. We'll talk afterwards. Yeah, I've been playing for a while too. It's a good family fun game. Right. I play with the boys.
He doesn't appear to be playing at all lately though. I haven't seen him anywhere.
Your friend Holden.
You know how when you looked at him, Adam, he was attacked.
Mm-hmm.
His base has stayed the exact same way as in, like, destroyed for the past week, so he's not been honest.
So he may be out. Okay, hey, let's move off of Clash of Clans. We'll talk about that after the show. So, Justin, what did you want to come on and talk to us about, though, this week?
Let's see. I've got 13 games.
Okay, we can't talk about 13 games. We've got about 2 minutes. But see, he's got the same problem I do, Dave. The nut in the tree here, not very far. Trying to keep us on task and succinct is not easy.
Okay.
All right, let's focus on maybe one or two.
The one that I wanted to do 2 weeks ago was Band Stars, which is a very good game where you can create your own band, hire new band members, make your songs with different genres and lyrics, and get achievements. And you're trying to go up the local, national, and global charts.
Oh, wow. So it's kind of like you are like the manager of a band. And
yes.
So you create it. And can you choose to make like a One Direction kind of band or whatever you want to do?
Yeah, you can do different types of things. You have to collect fans, which is strange.
Yeah, I find that very difficult.
You have to collect fans.
You collect fans. So what do you like about the game? I mean, what's the really the fun part of it?
It's very, you interact with it in different ways, and it seems very realistic.
Mm-hmm. And this is on your iPod, right?
Yes.
Your iPod Touch that you're using it?
Yes, and it doesn't. You don't really get tired of it quick.
No?
Because, well...
So what kind of decisions do you have to make? I mean, it sounds like you get to pick the kind of band it is.
Yes, you can hire band members with different specialities, like punk and
different skill
rock.
Sets, different backgrounds.
Mm. Yes.
And can you give them cool hair?
No, but you can. You can pick.
What?
You can
no
pick,
cool hair.
You can pick out different designs for your instruments and upgrade your gear and
right, so
buy
can,
furniture and stuff.
You can customize it.
Yes.
All right.
Do they get to break the furniture when they're on tour?
Right. Trash the hotel rooms.
There's only one for some reason they haven't gone to the whole room tour hotel thing. There's only one place for the entire thing.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. So you haven't had to pull the brown M&Ms out of the bowls.
Where's
yet.
My trailer?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Well, that sounds really cool. Now, in the past, you've given very high star ratings to the games that you've recommended. Where would you put this on a scale versus, like, say, Plague Inc., for example?
What?
So Plague Inc. you gave like five out of five
Plague
stars.
Plague Inc. was great.
So how would this compare to Plague Inc.?
I would say probably a 4.1 stars.
Wow. So this is a pretty good game too. Now is this another? I think we lost Dave, unfortunately. So was this a free game?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so
probably has some in-app purchases. That's the way the games are going now, where they give you the game for free. But if you want to build your tower faster, give us a quarter. Or
you can buy, energy drinks.
There you go.
Which refill your band members' energy, but that's pretty much it.
Huh. I don't know if I like the message this game is sending. Using chemicals to.
Just energy drinks.
All right. I guess we'll let that one slide. Well, I'm going to move along.
Wait,
Justin.
Wait.
Okay, make it quick, though, because we got to move along here.
Okay, I don't want to recommend another game, but I have a lot of stuff on here. So I'm going to recommend a game producer called Team Lava.
Okay.
They make a lot of different story games where you can... try and build different places different ways and try and go up the levels. Stuff like that.
Okay. Oh, very cool. Team Lava.
My little sister loves a game called Pet Shop Story.
And that's made by Team Lava?
Yes, and I actually think it's good, which is...
They have a lot of... Yeah,
wow.
There it is, Pet Shop Story, Bakery Story, Restaurant Story.
My favorite is Mystery Crime Scene, where you get to solve different interactive mysteries and you get to... unscramble clues and talk and interrogate witnesses.
Oh, I like this one. I may have to try that.
It's mostly a hidden object game, though, where you try and find clues. And
very
lots
cool.
of other stuff.
Very cool. Well, that sounds neat, and that sounds like one I would like. And you said it was age-appropriate, too. There's not a lot of blood and gore and guts and things like
that
in it. In your mystery.
Mystery Crime Scene? The only violent thing in the entire game
is when your brother tries to take it from you.
No, is in the tutorial. Is in the tutorial when one of the clues is a dead body that has no blood or guts or anything. It's just white.
Okay. Well.
So I'd rate it maybe PG, maybe not E.
All right. Hey, guess what we got here? You know what that sound is? Have you heard that before?
The Price is Right?
Yeah,
you were looking at the screen.
Yeah, no fair. That is for Cool Sights of the Week, which we always try to do and give you some stuff that is pretty cheap or free and things to do. So I've got a couple of them. The first one here is great for this time of year and for this week coming up. This is a very, very cool app. It works on the web, iPad and Android. You can go and grab it. It's forecast.io and is the website to go to, and you can get links to the app there. I like it because it actually gives you a lot of really interesting information, but also too gives you easy access to different radar and weather mapping kind of stuff, starting from a global perspective. So you can zoom down into your region, but rather than just being kind of trapped in your local regional thing, you can actually see what's coming in from the Arctic and all that. So I really like it. Forecast.io is one that I would shout out and recommend. Here's another one too that is very cool. I've been using lately with great success. It's an app called Meatways, and Meatways is a neat thing. It has nothing to do with getting some nice steak tartare. It actually is about when you need to meet somebody and you know where each of you are, but you don't know what a good halfway point is. And you can go in and put the two addresses and say, I want to meet somewhere that I can get a cup of coffee with this person. It will find a halfway point for you where there's, you know, a Starbucks or some place or a McDonald's where you can get some coffee.
See, if you can't find a Starbucks somewhere, just drive another block.
Exactly. Yeah, good point. Good point. But particularly if you're kind of out, yeah, in the city, it's a little bit easier, but if you're out in the burbs, it really does help, and that's been one that I've used a few times and found to be very, very useful. I'm going to give one more, and then I'm going to ask Paul if he's got maybe one or two to send. The other one that I've got, so we're moving into this new world order and doing all of this good stuff with technology and PDFs and scanning and so on, but every once in a while, you got to send a fax, and if you don't have a fax machine, it can be kind of a pain. One of the better places that I've found for doing just one-off quick things that you want to send a fax for, faxorama.com. Great, easy to use name too. You get, I believe it's 5 pages per day that you can send for free. There's a very, very unobtrusive sort of advertisement that comes through, and you can also do faxing from your Android and iOS devices. So it's incredibly flexible and useful, and I've actually used it a couple of times now. Very, very cool stuff. Again, that's faxorama.com. Paul, did you have something to...
There was one that you linked the other day I saw on your Facebook page that I spent a lot of time on, brainpickings.org.
I looked at brain picking.
That was your 5 ways to run correctly.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. That's right. There's a lot of great stuff on there.
I read that link. I read the 5 ways to, you know, proper running techniques. Yeah. I think I pretty much follow them anyways. But, you know, it's always good to see what other people's opinion. But then I kind of poked around on brain pickings. There's a lot of really good things. Just brain pickings. .org.
Beautiful. Yeah. I had forgotten about that. Where I had found that. And the tips for running were good. I think I do most of them now, mm-hmm. but I used to be one of those guys that would overstride. One of the things they talk about, 5 mm-hmm. tips for running.
There it is, right there.
Oh, he's got it on his phone right there.
I had looked it.
Is the overstride where mm-hmm. you think you're running faster or harder because you're extending your stride. And the problem with that, of course, is it contributes to a lot of impact damage to you. So good stuff. Brainpickings.org. Great stuff. I gotta let us go because we've got a new show coming on here. Rob Schott First is going to be with us talking techie science geek stuff. Justin's got one last comment to make.
Yeah. So remember, Bandstars? And Team Lava.
Team Lava.
For iOS.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Good stuff. Thanks, everybody, for listening today. Don't go away. You're going to want to stick around, especially if you liked our show for Rob Schott First. That's going to be good stuff. Coming up with some more science-y stuff. I'm going to leave you with the podcast-only song of the week called Kicking Me Out of the Band. Very appropriate for our discussion today with Justin by a guy named Sean Nelson. Nice, mellow stuff to leave with. And have a great week. Have a warm week. And we will talk at you next week. We're going to have Nick Brouse on, Shakespearean expert, talking to us about the first Folio app of Hamlet and how that can be used on your mobile devices and what it'll do for you. So good stuff. Stick around. Thanks for listening. WRLR on 98.3 LPFM in Round Lake Heights. This is Kicking Me Out of the Band by Sean Nelson.
was on a mission. Two guitars, two hits of acid, two chords, and the truth to maybe one day write a single was the extent of our ambition. But that was then. It's nothing to be proud of. Oh. Still, there can be. Jacked.